was family life like when you found me?
We tried lots of behavior charts and different positive reinforcements, negative reinforcements. Life was not happy.
Maybe to the detriment of some of the other kids, we would structure what we're doing around Gabe just to stop the war zone kind of mentality with him.
I don't talk about this negative stuff with probably anybody except my mother because there's that judgment. I like to think of myself as a good mom, but nothing felt good. I can tell when his cup is especially full because it shows in how he's treating his little sister. It's so beautiful. I haven't seen that since they were toddlers.
And you're getting to see those moments now. That's awesome.
We sometimes go days without any big eruption. I mean, that was unheard of.
Well, Mara and Mike, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for having us.
So why don't you start by just telling us a little bit about yourselves and your family?
So Mara and I have been married for 10 years. We have four kids. Isaac is 14. Charlotte is 12. They're from a previous relationship, and Mara's been in their life for since they were little. And then we have Gabriel, who is 8 years old, and he's extremely highly sensitive. And then we have Alana, who is 6.
And what was family life like when you found me?
Very stressful. A lot of emotional, big feelings we had. And that's what we called them. Like when somebody was starting to have a tantrum or a hard time was, wow, that's a big feeling. And that never helped, but we never stopped saying it, right? So I think that Mike and I were really like not part of the solution in the way that we wanted to be. And I know that how I was parenting really didn't feel good. We tried lots of, you know, behavior charts and different positive reinforcements, negative reinforcements, like, and it might have worked for, you know, a hot minute. And then we were back at square one and life was not happy. Like we work really, really hard, you know, to meet our kids' needs and wants and for us to be happy, I think after 10 years of marriage, you know, like we're still in love and we're still best friends, but we weren't enjoying that, right? Like it was hard to parent together. Everything was just hard. Nothing was easy. And it was like, does it have to be this hard?
It was like chaos. You know, I dreaded the kids coming home from school after working. You know, I think our parenting style too, like we tried a lot of things, but you know, I think you were definitely part of the problem. It was kind of an eye for an eye, meeting yelling with yelling and threats. And then that was just a big, nasty cycle of misery.
Yeah, right. Like the louder we yelled, the louder they yelled. And so, you know, some of the kids that weren't participating in that particular tantrum or argument would make a beeline and go upstairs and close their door loudly to let us, everybody know, like, hey, I don't want to be in my room, but I'm not going to be around this.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes that was Mike or myself for sure doing that. Like, I mean, nothing felt good. There was like really no solution.
Yeah. And I remember talking to y'all for the first time, and it was just, I sensed that chaos and that sort of that desperation for something that felt good to all of you, because there was so this, and this was apparent on even the first call, there was so much love in your family, but you weren't getting to experience that.
No, not at all. And like, you know, you remember when your kids are babies and toddlers, and you know, you say, there's an expression I heard, the good inside, right? And it's like, there's so much good inside of all of us here, but we can't like tap that and we can't touch it. It's hard to see. Sometimes we get like a glimpse, but then it's, you know, the next breath, we're taking two more steps back. And so, I mean, that I'm like getting so sad thinking about, you know, how much of our life was like that. And we just didn't know another way. We were, you know, when you're caught in like the hole, right? Like you can't dig yourself out. That's like where we were.
Yeah. It was good moments, but it would always fall apart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the same way every day. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's such a hard place to be, like dreading the kids coming home from school, but like you are not alone. So many families I talk to, that's where they're at.
Yeah, it feels very alone. I mean, it's not like I want to go and talk to other moms at pickup and be like, "Do you hate picking your kids up? You know, like, do you really just like not want to be around them at all?" You know, so it's not like, you know, a conversation we're having at pickup. Like, I don't talk about this negative stuff with probably anybody except my mother because it's like there's that judgment. And I like to think of myself as a good mom, but nothing felt good.
Right. I found us making concessions too for Gabriel. He's the highly sensitive one, and we would, maybe to the detriment of some of the other kids, we would, structure what we're doing around Gabe just to, stop the war zone kind of mentality with him.
The chaos.
Yeah, like walking on eggshells because you just didn't want to set him off again.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's
Yeah.
such a hard place to be. So tell me a little bit about what emotions came with the decision to take the leap into the Chaos to Connection program.
I know Mara was listening to your podcast before we jumped in, so I don't know if you want to kind of give an overview of that, and then I'll come in at the end there.
I actually, my hairdresser a lot of years ago sent me a link to your podcast. I don't know if I ever shared this with you. And it resonated so deep, but I wasn't like doing the podcast thing. Like, I mean, my life was upside down and I didn't have time to like listen or do any kind of self-care. And so I'm not sure how I stumbled upon your podcast again, but after like, you know, one or two episodes, I'm like, wait a minute, I know her voice. I know this, right? And so as I continued to listen, I started implementing a lot of the ideas that you were giving us in the podcast and trying a lot of the suggestions and even like the scripts that you gave, right? Like verbatim, that's what I was doing. And I was trying to feel my kids after school and do they want to talk? Do they not want to talk? Why are they just like beating each other up on the 1 minute car ride home? Like, so I was trying to implement it to the best of my ability. And I kept sending Mike the links and, you know, like trying to get him to fill in the missing gaps, right? And like he couldn't do that. I couldn't do that. And I stumbled upon one podcast that you were talking about that was like really talking about like how you know, like attuning to your kid and like how do you like feel the situation and like how are you showing up to parenting? And like really the trick is to, you know, to be emotionally present with your kids. And I thought I was doing that, you know? So it was like something else has to give here. And I think Mike and I discussed it, and then we got the interview, right? And as we were going through telling you everything, I think I felt a lot of hesitation and I felt a lot of fear, like Mike and I, what if we can't do this? And we're really good at teamworking things and partnering together. So, you know, that's like my fallback. Oh, well, we can do this, but nothing else had worked. Right. So I think the reason why I don't want to speak for Mike, but like the reason why I was like, no, we really do need to give this a try is because I sort of had seen some glimpses of peace and calm when I was trying to implement some of the stuff from your podcast. And I think like we had talked about, like, you know, it goes so much deeper when you get into the 8 week program. It's like nothing I've ever experienced with any of the other workshops I've done, with the therapy I've done. It just really compiles on itself. And it's really not even like parenting stuff, as it is like, how do I emotionally get right so that I can emotionally be right for my kids, right?
Yes. And I think a lot of people don't understand that in listening to the podcast because there's so much deeper work that has to happen to make everything else fit together.
And it hurts too. Like, this isn't, you say deep work, it's like hard work. Like,
Painful work.
you know,
Yes. Yes.
yeah, it's like a big magnifying glass and like, you know, taking the puzzle of my fill in the blank apart so that I can put it back together so it makes sense. So then I know how my kid's feeling, right? Like, there was something I was listening to, I think, that it was talking about like, oh, if I went up to my partner and was like, hey, you need to stop working, get off your laptop right now and go take out the garbage and do A, B, C, D, E. Like he would look at me like I'm straight up nuts, but like those are the things that I asked my kid to do. And maybe that's why they're looking at me like I'm nuts. So, like, okay, like there's got to be a common respect there that for sure was not before.
And I remember too that you really wanted something that you and Mike could do together because you were just handing him random podcasts and he's coming home from work and like trying to, which I mean, you're not alone. Like that's what we do, right? When one of us is taking that on, we share those random snippets that we think are going to be helpful, but it is never enough. You really need that framework that you go through together. So you have that shared understanding and language.
No, I agree with what Mara said. I was probably a little more apprehensive about doing the program at first, to be honest. But I think the one thing that kind of hit me when we had our interview was that, Gabriel's not going to grow out of it. It's not just like time's going to pass, and it's just like a phase. And that was hard too, because I felt absolutely defeated when I realized that. But I think when we had the interview, there was, you're just hitting on all these points about highly sensitive kids, and it's like kind of we were describing Gabe to a T, and you had met him, and we were just kind of going back and forth like you knew. So I think that's when I first started getting on board more with doing the program. I think we did a good job staying on top of the modules and working together on it. But yeah, it was hard with the like looking deeper at some of the shame that I felt and realizing, that Gabriel was a lot like me, and that I'm, probably still a lot like Gabriel, being like a highly sensitive parent. That was so hard for me. It's because I don't want to say I'm like emotionally distant, but I'm fairly reserved, and I like everything kind of all good all the same. But then this was like all this, my own shame, and then realizing that that's how Gabe felt too. That was like the pump the brakes kind of moments, because he's not going to grow out of it, and it's not going to get any better unless I help him.
I know that was hard. And you showed up and you did it. I mean, you did the work, and then that's why you are where you are today. So, I mean, kudos to
I
both of
think
you.
even the early lessons, like, sorry to interrupt, but yeah,
Go ahead.
those were really like important for me to sit there and do them with Mara and get on board right away. And then I know our schedules didn't always line up. She got a little bit of ahead of me at times, but I think we always got there together.
And Mara, you had to make your journey your own. That was another piece of it, was kind of like making it yours and letting him also do it at his pace. And then you kind of came together by doing that.
Yeah, that was like not a turn that I was expecting. I don't even know that I had really processed that until you just said it, right? Like, it was the whole process was really hard. And like, it seems very obvious, but like, as we're doing this like deep work and we're like picking things apart to put them back together, I still have to parent and I still have to show up, for my day job, right? And so it was so emotional. And even now at times it's really emotional because we talk about what triggers me or what triggers him, and we have our code word, and like it's like we should be wearing matching t-shirts. Like we're so like on the same page. And the result, I think, of that shows up in our kids and how much more secure and sturdy they become when we become more sturdy. And it just seems like we're not guessing anymore. Like, hey, this is actually what we're doing.
Yes, there is so much power in that, in committing to a
Oh,
framework and
huge.
doing it.
Huge, huge. I don't think I've ever felt this confident as a parent, or maybe even like as a human being. I kind of have my act together more, right? And so it's very empowering,
I
very
love that.
empowering.
I love that so much for you, for your family. So let's talk a little bit more about that. What do things feel like now in your home?
So, things are a lot better. We still have the bad days, and there's the tantrums, and I think once we realize that, based on how we respond, that's gonna kind of dictate, where the level of the tantrum goes.
Oh, huge.
I think we're seeing everyone get along better. When things do pick up a little bit, we can kind of make sure the situation calms down quicker and it doesn't turn into like an all-out family brawl. Yeah, so I think that's the big part for me. And then, just the some of the communication with Gabe that Mara has with him about how he's feeling. But I think that's been helpful for Gabe as well, and always making sure his cup's full.
Huh.
He's getting time, with both of us and then with his siblings. And I think that's helped. And he still feels that shame, I can tell, but I feel like he's getting better with that too. So I think that's important.
Yeah. Well, now
Yeah.
you've
Yeah.
learned how to de-shame your communication with him, which helps a lot.
Yeah. Even like the language, like day to day. I think I shared this with you or someone on your team a while back. Like, I say prayers with my kids before bed, and there was like a part of the prayer where I'm like, we're so proud of you, and then I go on to list all these things, and it's like that in itself can be shaming because like, oh, this is the only reason why we love you, or this is like the bar that you have to like measure up to. And so like, I still feel these feelings, but I say it in a different way so that I think each individual kid feels why they are special, but at the same time, like there's no expectation, right? And so that feels really good, really good.
Everyone can be human. Everyone can make mistakes. Yes.
And what's funny, I don't know what Gabe is going through right now, maybe because this is the last week of our school year, and he is growing up. He will be turning 9 and going into fourth grade, and like the pool membership place, like there's a membership pool in our neighborhood, and we've always gone, like I went when I was a kid, right? And so this year he has like arrived and he passed the swimming test, and he can go by himself like through the neighborhood to the pool. And
Wow.
yeah, right? He just has to learn to ride a bike now. But he can also be with his older brother and sister too, which is like so very cool for him.
Yeah.
So how do I want to say it? It's like because he's growing up, it's like, wait, how much do I need mom and dad? And I can tell you the way that he's been looking at me lately is like he has a different expression on his face that's like curious, and like it just maybe I'm seeing he's like looking at me different, right? And it's like the more I show up, and when he does something naughty, and I go and I give him a hug and I ask him, hey, are you okay? Whereas before that was met with like yelling or finger pointing, and it's like it's just a totally different feeling. So he's looking at me like, maybe, are you still my mom? Like, who is this lady? Like, and I gotta tell you, that feels so much better. Also, that he'll even let me come over and embrace him, right? Because that wasn't always a thing. So, yeah.
No, I think from my side, it's like Gabe's always been really good at school. He's, talking his activities, and like he's a model student. But as soon as he'd walk through the door, it would stop. So it's almost like now we get to enjoy him more.
Yes. You get to see that side of him that his teachers were enjoying.
Yeah, like he was
Love
first to
that.
be voted for like student council, like responsible, honest, like helpful. And it's like, wait, like I know that's my kid, but like we don't get to see that here.
Not the kid
And
I
he's
see.
been,
Walk through the door and he's talk like a sailor. It's like it's completely different. As teachers don't even believe us.
Yeah, I hear that all the time. The teacher doesn't even believe what we see at home.
I think I can tell when his cup is especially full because it shows in how he's treating his baby sister, his little sister. He's so incredibly jealous that she even has a presence in the home. Like, and when he plays with her and is sweet with her and sort of almost acts like how Mike or I would act with her, right? It's so beautiful. Like I haven't seen that since they were toddlers. And not, I don't mind you, like it's not all the time.
Sure, of course.
It's so sweet when it happens.
And you're getting to see those moments now. That's awesome.
Oh, yeah.
So
I mean, we
neat.
sometimes go days without any like big eruption, I mean, that was like unheard of.
Yeah, it's amazing. So, what would you say to a family who's thinking about the program, who's maybe on the fence?
Yeah, I think that all you have to do is plant the seed, and it will get better. And, so like I said, kid's not going to outgrow it. And you got to do something. And I think it does work. And I think the program and the principles work. You just gotta dive in, and it's not going to get any worse, right?
Maybe, I don't
It's
know.
going to get better. I mean, after you
Oh,
start.
better. Sorry.
Right.
No, I totally agree. It's the way we show up, and I think I was maybe alluding to this earlier, like when we first started the interview, that it is such deeper, more meaningful, life-changing work to go through the 8 weeks versus just trying to mimic and parakeet what the podcast is saying, right? It's so much more than that. So much more. And to like utilize each little piece of the program to make it a whole, it is completely life-changing. You cannot put a price on it. I mean, you can't. I didn't become a mother to holler at my kids and be miserable. Like, I became a mother because I wanted to do good in the world, and I want the next generation to be prepared. And, speaking about like resilience, I have a whole new appreciation and meaning of what resilience means, not just for myself, but for my kids. Like, the shaming stuff, that's the stuff that leads to what, like eating disorders and drug addiction, alcoholism. I mean, like it feeds into itself. And I do not wish that upon anybody,
Right.
especially my babies. And so I feel like I'm getting really sappy with talking about it, but it is just so worth the work. So life-changing. I mean, I just can't speak more about that.
I love that so much. I mean, it really comes down to like what could be more important than your family, than your kids, than that legacy and that resilience.
Truly, truly. I mean, like Mike's talking about, like, I don't even want to be in my home when my kids are here, right?
Right.
To like, now we have more peace and calm. I can see my kid for who they are. I can see my husband for who he is and myself and continue to love us. And I have more patience. Like, hey, it's just a win. So I guess if anybody's on the fence, like, hopefully they're hearing how our world just became a better place to be, right? And so I'd say go for it.
Yeah, I was scheduled an interview with Dr. Hillary. She offers reasonable financing options as well.
That is true. We do have financing. I don't think a lot of people know that. Yeah, I love that so much. I mean, it really is so powerful. And you guys showed up, and I know in that first call, you were not sure you could do this. I heard from both of you were like, "I am not sure." And I was like, "Well, I am sure that you can do this, and I believe in you." So you're gonna jump in, and you did. And I mean, you guys just did such beautiful work. It was so cool to be a part of that.
Thank you. And I'll say this too for anybody out there listening that, like, I did a different thing with a different like coach with trying to parent during COVID and kids home all the time. And this is like next level. I mean, this is like there's not enough time to explain how my insides feel different and how I guess like my world is just a more beautiful, calm, sort of like Zen moment to be. I can sit back and watch and enjoy my kids play. And before I it was supervision, So it's like from supervising to, I'm living my life again. Or maybe for the first time. I don't know. Like, it's that powerful.
Wow. That is so, so cool, Mark. I love
Well,
that.
thank you. Like, seriously, like for it's beautiful work that you do.
Thank you.
You're
And thank
welcome.
you both for trusting me and for jumping in with both feet. Your kids and your family, you're going to reap the benefits of this for years, for generations to come, truly.
Yeah, right. Stopping the cycles and stuff. Yeah, absolutely.
Yes. Well, thank you both so, so much for trusting me, for doing this work, and for sharing your story. I think so many parents are going to benefit from hearing this.
Hey. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.